1 Corinthians 10. Thanks again for the little bit of fun we can have this morning. Let's focus our attention on the scripture today. I want to be a help to you along the way. Once again, my name is Brother Aaron, if you haven't figured that out yet. And it is a privilege to serve here at Camp Kobiak and have the wonderful opportunity to serve teenagers, minister. I was a youth pastor for almost 9 years. Could we get this turned down just a little bit? A little hot up here, Joe. Thanks, man. Youth pastor for 9 years. So got to hang out with a lot of teenagers. We operate a large bus ministry at a church, and so we minister to a lot of those folks, great kids coming on into our church. And I operate a public high school Bible club, 70, 80 kids a week we minister to, and of course our youth group kids at church. And so have the wonderful opportunity to kind of hang out with a lot of different teenagers, a lot of different backgrounds. And there's one thing that every teenager has in common, and that's what we're going to look at today in this area of what we call temptation. Now, how many of you have been working on your Devo book all week already? Your Devo book, working through some of those truths. And I just want to be a help and a blessing to you. I don't think we're going to be super long today. I recognize that teenagers get tired. How many of you know what I'm talking about, okay? And so let's do our best to try to stay awake today, and I'll try to make sure that we're exciting, animated up here. And but what I really want to be a help to you. I do. I really do. Because I know what some of you face. Matter of fact, how many of you face temptation? Oh, yeah, great. I mean, how many of you feel like you get bombarded sometimes? It's a little frustrating. Like, you know what you're supposed to do, but it's hard. Yeah. Because of technology and this just weird world that we live in, is that this generation is going to be faced with some things that my generation wasn't faced with. A lot of these generations of the sponsor weren't faced with, but you're faced with it. And so we want to look in the scripture today and talk a little bit about this area of temptation, kind of highlighting some things. And I want to be a help to you. I really do. I want you to listen, and I want you to hear from God what he says in his word in this area of temptation. Because my biggest, you know, passion this morning, heartbeat, is for you to understand what God expects. Because the reality is, God expects you to handle temptation. You get it? Caleb, can we follow that? It ain't easy, but God expects you to endure, to bear it. We're going to talk about that and to be humble enough to realize that. And then the biggest drive of this message is for you to understand God's solution, his remedy to help you, because God has done everything possible in an awesome, powerful way to make sure that every single young person in this room can handle every single temptation you face. Okay? And I love that. I love that truth. So that's what we're going to look at today. Makes sense? I just want to kind of share with you where we're going to get going here, and we'll try to be a help and a blessing. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. We're going to look at all of chapter 10, a little bit of 9 really quick, but we just got to start flying through this. So I'm going to talk fast. You listen faster. We'll get right into today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, by the way, for all you freshmen, that's the book right before 2 Corinthians. So if you haven't figured that out, I'm just kidding, freshmen. Don't worry. You know what the best thing about a freshman? You know what the best thing about a freshman? They eventually become a sophomore. It's about the only thing. But anyways, ninth graders, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I was a ninth grader once. Best 3 years of my life. It was great. All right. See, ninth graders don't get it. That's what's funny about it. Anyways. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, 13. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, go back. Ready? Wherefore, let him that what? Thinketh. Okay, you thinketh that you're good. And you're not, okay? So don't be deceived, okay? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Some of you are falling. I got kids in my youth group, when I was youth pastor the last 9 years prior to coming to Kobiak, who fell. I don't want you to fall, and God doesn't want you to fall. Make sense? But the reality of this verse is that you may fall. We're going to talk about it, okay? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. What do you think that means? Such as common to man. Common. Common means what? We all have something in common. Is that you're facing temptations, and you may think you're the only one, but he's facing them too, and you're facing them, and you're facing the temptation about trying to figure out what your name is, Bob. Temptation. You guys get it? And others, you may feel like you're kind of all alone in this a little bit. Like, no one knows what I go through. No one knows the temptations that I face. Well, no, actually, if y'all be honest, which teenagers never really are honest about what's really going on in their heart, right? right? Okay. But if you would be honest, you realize that a lot of you face the same things, okay? So the point is, you're not in this alone, okay? You're not in this alone. So there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, here we go. But God is what? Faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Say it. God is what?
Faithful.
And that's the solution to every single one of your temptations. It ain't you. It's him. It's not your power. It's his faithfulness to you. And we're going to talk about that, what that means today very quickly. Let's keep going. Who will not suffer you to be tempted but that which you're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape that you may also be able to bear it. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts. We love you. There's some burdens, some temptations they'll face even this summer. Even this summer, Lord, these young people will face some temptations that may cause some serious consequences, God. And I pray that you'd use this chapel service to wake us up, to make us more like your son, to be aware of what you expect, your faithfulness. Well, I pray that you help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My sons, Jack and Will, and my wife, Tina, we like to do some family things. One of the family things we used to do a lot is play Wii. How many know what a Wii is? It's like that game system. Like, I know you guys are on, like, PlayStation, like, 6, right? Xbox, like, 920 or something. Anyways, all right, so I'm back on Wii days, okay? And that's enough for me because my 9-year-old kills me at every game in Wii. It's not even fun to play with my 9-year-old because he whoops me up, okay? So we play Wii. We play this game called Wipeout. You ever seen Wipeout where they bounce off all the balls and fall in the water and stuff like that? And so usually it's me and Will, my second youngest, versus Tina, my wife, who's, you know, the worst video game player in the world, almost, and Jack, who is the best. And so we kind of split up the teams. We played this little Wii game called Wipeout. Well, Wipeout's kind of a fun game, and in this Wipeout, there's a snow level, and in this snow level, you have to walk across this beam with your little guy, okay? And as you're walking across this beam like this, guess what's happening? They are throwing snowballs at you, trying to knock you off. And I began to think about this. I have a hard time trying to control the controller. Then you're doing all these jumps and bounces and stuff like that. And I began to think about that in relation to where you're at in life. You know, sometimes life is just hard enough. Can I get an amen? I mean, you guys are facing some things about life and decisions and their burdens. In the middle of you just trying to do life, you're faced with all these temptations that people keep throwing at you and things that are just thrown at you, and it becomes very difficult, okay? Oh, no, there's guys, listen, the struggle is real. Can I get an amen? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Life is tough sometimes, isn't it? Isn't it? And yet, in the middle of life, God still has an expectation for you to walk, to do right, to live right. And part of this live right is the ability to handle temptation. So I want you to know something in the scripture here about this area of temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 starts out with the nation of Israel as an example. And we're going to look at three examples here in the scripture of people who may fall really quickly, okay? The reality of temptation is this: you may fall. The reality of temptation is you may fall. The reality of temptation is what? You may, the what? Reality, everybody say it, the reality of temptation, you may what? You may fall. And you need to understand that you may fall. We're going to look at three examples really quick of people who may fall. First of all, let's look at the Apostle Paul. We'll jump up just a couple verses. We'll come back to chapter 10. Look at verse 27 of chapter 9. The Apostle Paul writing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? Castaway. We're going to have to fly through some of this, guys. I want you to understand the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, who is the reason there was a million believers by the end of the first century because of his missionary efforts. Here is probably the greatest Christian, probably the greatest missionary of all times. The Apostle Paul recognized something, that even though he was living for God, he recognized he had the ability to become a castaway. The word castaway means to be disqualified. How many of you run track? Do any track type stuff? Yeah, awesome. How many of you do like long jump or triple jump? Long jump, triple jump. Okay, you know how they have that big white line at the beginning? What happens if you jump the longest jump and cross the line by that much? You're what? You're disqualified. You're disqualified. You're disqualified. The Apostle Paul recognized that he could be a castaway. He could be disqualified. Now, teenager, look up here. If the Apostle Paul could fall, so could you. I could bring any pastor, any sponsor up there, up here from the back, and they could sit up here and probably tell you story after story of men of God who fell, right? And I could bring any pastor, you pastor up here, and they could talk to you about any teenager who disqualified themselves because they didn't handle temptation. Make sense? So do you want to disqualify yourself? Yes or no? No, then you got to be able to handle temptation. The Apostle Paul, number one, okay? Number two, Exodus, the Israel during the Exodus, okay? We don't have time to get into this, but let's just emphasize one thing quickly from the scripture. I want you to see this. You guys got to see this. We're talking about the reality that you may fall. Because I know some of you are sitting back going like, nah, that's not me. It's not me. It is you. I want you to see it. Here we go. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that, next word, please. All. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. All of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is reference to the Exodus in Israel, that they all went through the whole demonstration of God's saving power and all the events that happened. Verse 2, the Bible says, and were what? All. Say it. And were what? Oh, my, my. Everybody look up here. I might preach till 10:30, so you guys got to stay with me. Ready for this? And were? All. Oh, very good. All baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. And did, next word, all eat the same spiritual wheat. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, but with, next word, please, many. See it? Many. Here we go. Ready? All, many. All of them experienced God. All were around it. All saw it. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? Because they did not handle temptation. See it? All are in youth group. All hear the sermons. All go to church. All put on nice clothes and look happy. But with many of them in your youth group, God is not well pleased. Does it? Look up here. Does it bother you that your life is not pleasing to the Lord? Some of you guys have been given into temptations all summer long. And you just don't care. You just don't care. Why would you not want to please Jesus? Did not he save you? Did not the God of heaven become flesh for you? Did not the God of heaven willingly take your sins upon himself and suffer and bleed and die as the sinless, spotless Lamb of glory we just heard about? Did not God die for you and save you and offer you eternal life? And then he offered to be your heavenly Father. And did he not offer you to give you riches and give you wisdom and give you grace and to even be ready to answer every need that you have before you even ask it, because he loves you and he cares about you and he knows you and he values you and he's offered you everything and been so kind and gracious and merciful to you? And by the way, you ain't going to hell anymore because of him. Come on. We can be real, right? I'm just getting you guys to think. And yet, some of you don't want to please the Lord. You see, many of them, God was not well pleased. Many of them. I wonder how many teenagers in this section understand that they're going to endure temptations, they're going to live for God, walk in the Spirit, read their Bible, say no to the flesh, not watch that garbage on TV, get rid of that music. I said, get rid of that music. I said, get rid of that music and the entertainment that you face, because you recognize that that stuff you're doing doesn't please the one who saved you, and you got a heartbeat for that God, and you say, I'm going to deal with temptation. Yes? And what about over here? He's going to get into some things, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but he mentions three sins in this passage that the nation of Israel struggled with. And I know you guys struggle with. Number one is idolatry. Idolatry. That's not making God number one. Now, most of you in here are probably not bowing down to like little Buddha dolls, you know, like, okay. But sports is more important than God to you. And that relationship is more important to you than God. And there's some other things in your life that you're worshiping, that you're bowing down to, that you're not making the Lord the first priority of your life, and that becomes idolatry. You're tempted in that area. God says no more. Second one is fornication. Some of you in this room are struggling with that. It's sin. It's wrong. What you watch on your computer, your phone, it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's temptation. You're struggling, not pleasing to the Lord. Third one is complaining, murmuring. Now, I know teenagers never murmur. I mean, in my youth group, we never complained. Right? Can I get an amen?
Yeah, right.
Pastor Andrew, in your youth group, I bet nobody ever has a bad attitude towards anything. Because you have such a godly role model back there in Pastor Andrew Slayer. Can I get an amen? Salve. That's good. You got your fan club up here. That's pretty cool. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, guys. Idolatry, fornication, okay, and complaining are sins of temptation. And as you go through the devotion book and God works in your heart in those areas, and I want you to understand that God expects you to look pleasing to Him. He expects you to handle temptations. Got it? So number one was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul could fall, so could you. If the nation of Israel, who experienced all God's blessings and His power and His provision, if all of them went through it and many of them God was not pleased, they could fall. And the third one was the carnal Corinthians in verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." And the Corinthians are the third example of people who could fall. Listen, here's the deal. You could fall. You got it? You could fall. Say it. I could fall. Say it again. What? You're not above it. Wherefore, if any man thinketh that he standeth, let him take heed. So I'm just trying to get you to see this. Take heed. Your phone, and you have unlimited access to internet, and you think it's so cool, yet you and I both know it is ruining you. It is causing guilt in your life and sin in your life. Deal with it. Those movies that you watch, for crying out loud, they're against God. They dishonor God, and yet they cause you to be tempted, and you give in to temptation. When are you going to get rid of it? When are you going to get rid of it? What about that music? That music. Man, music's tough, isn't it, guys? Can you just raise your hand and say, music's a tough one? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. I'm not here to solve all your music issues and go through every list of every artist and every genre. And I think there's some ungodliness in some genres of music that you're justifying. There is no doubt. I'm not afraid to preach about it. But I just want to kind of attack this from a different area. I was a public high school kid. I got saved at age 17. Can I give it up for the public high school kids in here? Yeah, public high school kids. All the Christian school kids are like, what? That's no fair. I was a public high school kid, and so when I got saved, I didn't know all the rules and things to do, not do, okay? So a lot of my journey in Christianity, especially with music, Brother Claude Witter, I came to because the Holy Spirit convicted me. Nobody had to tell me. I got convicted, and I dealt with it, okay? So I remember, you know, when I was in high school, and I was living the party scene, and you know, maybe similar to Brother Sam's, and I'm struggling with a lot of things, and purity, and popularity, and all these things, and all of a sudden I get saved, okay? And God begins to do a work in my heart. Isn't that wonderful that God does a work in your heart? And God was so patient with me and so merciful to me, and I was a child of God, but I was struggling with music, okay? And I remember getting to the point in my life where I realized that my music was not pleasing to the Lord. You guys ever been there? Not because your youth pastor said so, because you knew under conviction of the Holy Spirit that your music was not pleasing to the Lord. It was just giving you an appetite for things, and the only reason you listened to music was to help you deal with the pain in your heart. Yes? Because you go to that music to cope. You go to that music because of the way it makes you feel. Right? Yes? Yes? Come on, help me out, guys. You got to stay with me. Yes, you do. And I get it. I really do get it. And so that's what I did. I listened to music because of the way it made me feel. But I got brought to the point where God convicted me about it. And I just want to help you out today. I want to help you out this morning. So here we go. Has God convicted you about your music? Straight up. I'm not here to list off 100 different things. If you want to talk about it, come find me later. Has God convicted you about your music? this week at camp, are you willing to say yes to Jesus and no to your music? Oh, you can justify it all you want. You got to stand at the great white, or at the judgment seat of Christ, and you have to give an account for it. But you and I both know it's pulling you down and hurting your relationship with God and your spirituality. And I just challenge you that even this morning to find a counselor and make a decision in your heart that says, I'm going to get rid of that music. Because God's convicted me about it. I don't want to be tempted anymore in this area. Now, here's the deal. The reality of temptation is you may fall. There's a young man that I was in Bible college with. And this young man was a great guy. I mean, just an awesome guy. He was a spiritual guy, godly guy, at heart for the Lord. He was in his senior in Bible college. This is the type of guy, I actually traveled with him a couple years in Bible college. Actually, he traveled 2 years. I think I traveled with him 1 year on a music traveling team. So this was kind of like, Brother Clawberry, like a pretty spiritual guy. He really was. He got to his senior year in Bible college, second semester. Senior year in Bible college, second semester. And he began to let his guard down. And he got involved in some temptations, in some things with a computer and pornography and accessing some of those things online. They caught it at the Bible college, had to bring him in, deal with his sin, and had to send him packing home. Second semester, senior year, because he did not know how to handle what? Temptation. I'll mention it to you because I just want to finish the sermon and make sure you get this. The reality is you may fall, but you know what the solution is? What do you think the solution is? Here's what it says. But God is what? Faithful. Let me give you about 2 minutes. We're done. Okay, God is faithful. God is faithful. Everybody say it. God is what?
Faithful.
Say it again. God is what?
Faithful.
Yeah, he's faithful to you. That's the only way you're going to escape temptation because he's faithful to you. He is so faithful to you. He is so faithful to you. Here's how faithful he is to you. He promises you to do two things in every one of your temptations that you face. Two things. Number one, he's going to curb it or control it to make sure it doesn't get too tough for you. Did you know that? Isn't that what the Bible verse says? Read it, read it, read it, read it. God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are what? Able. So that is, God knows what you can handle, and what you can handle is maybe different than what you can handle. It's different than what you can handle, but he guarantees that every one of you three guys in this room, every temptation you face the rest of the summer, he is faithful, he will control it. Make sure it doesn't get too hard for you. Now, what you can handle might be different than what I can handle. Your struggles might be different than my struggles, and God knows you, he knows me, and he's faithful to you and to me to make sure that we can handle what comes our way. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? Okay, number two, he provides a way of escape. Number two, he provides a way of escape. So he controls it, and he provides a way of escape, okay? That is, every temptation that you face, he will be faithful to you and provide a way of escape. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 4 relate to us how God became flesh as a faithful high priest because Jesus knows and understands and wants to aid you, score you, help you through your temptations. You know that verse that says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace? How many know that verse? How many know that verse? Let us come what?
Boldly,
boldly under the throne of grace. Say it. Let us come what?
Boldly
under the throne of grace. In that context, in Hebrews 4, that is a context of temptation, that you're struggling in your time of need. You go to the throne of grace to get help because you serve a very, very faithful God. Now, let's just wrap this up, okay? Let's say there's 200 teenagers in the building. I think there's a little more than that. 200 teenagers in the building. Let's say every one of these teenagers face 10 temptations each. So ready? 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, all the way around. How many temptations are we going to get? 200 times 10. 2,000, right? Wow. That's a lot of temptations. And yet, in the middle of every one of those temptations in this room, God's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you, to you, to you, to you. Every sponsor in the back, right there, Gabe, right there, right there. He's going to make sure it doesn't get too hard for you and make sure you have a way of escape. And he's going to do it for you, and he's going to do it for you, and he's going to do it for you, and he's going to do it. I mean, isn't that amazing to think God is so involved intricately in all of our lives to make sure that today, he is so faithful to you. And in the middle of your faithlessness and your fornicating, complaining, bitter attitudes that we struggle with, God yet stands as the supreme, faithful, loving God to you and make sure that you can handle it. Got it? So here's the deal, guys, real quick. If you mess up, whose fault is it? Yeah. Because he expects you to endure. And he's provided sufficiency in Jesus in all things to make sure that he controls it, provides a way of escape, right? Heads about, eyes closed. Don't be looking around.